Our scripture this morning, as I referred to a moment ago, is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verses, 1 through 12, often called the Beatitudes. We've been studying that in our Bible study. I invite you to listen for words that speak to you in particular, or speak to us as the family of God right here. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. Some familiar words for many of us. Any of those words particularly strike you this morning? Sharon. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. Chuck. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Okay. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A bit of an autobiographical sermon. When I am out in the community introducing myself as pastor of First Christian Church, or being asked about this church, I always start with this story. Shannon and I were invited to come visit Grand Junction, and in particular, visit First Christian Church. So we came and met with the search committee, getting acquainted, telling stories, asking questions, eating dinner, lunch, breakfast. You all like to eat, right? Not many pictures of that time, but in your mind you can picture Al and Pam Baumgartel, who invited us to come visit. Eating Mexican food next to Donna Ham. Rick and Nancy Clausen, I don't see Rick, but Nancy's here, took us for a driving tour, including Palisade, which was wonderful, roaming up and down the hills over there. We were treated like royal guests, and we ate that all up. Oh yes, we were asked a lot of questions, about what we had done in other places, what ministries we liked to work with, what we thought about the future of the church and the disciples of Christ. Pretty soon we figured out that there were pretty high expectations for what we might do together as a church, where we were willing to work, how we might fit into this family. Family. We were made to feel like we were being included into a family here in Grand Junction. We were going to be accepted, just as we are. We were clearly going to be loved very well. And we got the sense that you all wanted us to just be ourselves, warts and all. We were going to be treated as part of First Christian Church, the church family. And we have been. And I tell everyone that will listen that First Christian Church is a family and that they can be a part of this family. And they too would be welcomed, loved, accepted just as they are. We don't always agree with each other, but we do forgive each other over and over because that's what families do. Poll question, how many feel like family is the perfect description or metaphor for a church?
I do.
And particularly this one. You treated us like guests for a little while, then you put us to work, like families do. We communicated the rules and expectations of what we needed from each other. We made plans for what we would accomplish together. Oh, we have made a few adjustments along the way, but we never stopped working together and communicating with each other and loving each other. Thank you for inviting us. You know, God created humans, placed them in a special garden, got acquainted, set up rules and expectations, loved them just like family, even when they messed up. God gave them chores to do, but also included them in the big picture. The dreams for the future, the plans to travel and work together, just like family. God loved them just like family, accepted them with strengths and weaknesses, forgave them with consequences, and set them free to live in relationship, right relationship with God and with each other, just like family. I'll skip ahead a bit. There were lots of problems. Us humans decided we'd rather do things our own way, and quite often without God. God responded by loving us, accepting us, warts and all, and forgiving us over and over again, wiping the slate clean, setting us free to live as family, as God's family. Imperfectly, of course. Well, you've read the book, the stories of success and glory, lots of messes, lots of forgiveness, too. That's what all those sacrifices were for. Do you ever wonder about that in the Old Testament? Poor animals. Now, God loves animals too, all of his critters and creations. But God gave a few of them, sheep, bulls, goats, doves, a special role of service to us humans and our relationship with God. Short answer, sacrifices were never because God wanted or needed something to die, even if it was disobedient, imperfect, or downright evil at times. That goes for animals and humans. But God needed a way for humans to let go of their sinfulness, their disobedience, their bullheadedness, and even idolatry, putting themselves or things into higher esteem than their relationship with God. It wasn't that something had to die, but that sinfulness had to go somewhere. God is so loving, so good and holy, that sinfulness just totally blocks and separates one from God. We can't even see or feel God when sin gets in between us. We can't even treat our fellow human beings decently when sinfulness, disobedience, and especially idolatry get between us again. Sin had to be cleaned from God's good creation. To get us all back into family, with God and with each other, God gave us these rituals where these special, perfect animals took on our sinfulness and took it to heaven in sacrifices. These animals were so esteemed in this role that they became special family meals. They became the food along with special grains and wine where God and us humans, the priests primarily, representing the rest of us, sat down together as family with God around dinner tables. So sacrifice was not punishment, it was giving and honoring one's, the animal's, perfect life to give its life-giving blood for others, to restore right relationship and right living with God and with neighbors, all neighbors. Family. It's all about family with God, the love of family for family, and everyone and everything belongs in God's family. I think I said that earlier. All God's critters got a place in the choir. If they are willing to live in that loving relationship with God and God's creation, forgiven. And God works hard to pave the way for everyone and everything to find their place around the family table. In the Gospel of Matthew, as I read, we see God's own Son, God in human form, setting that family table for those he loves. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. Rejoice and be glad," he says, "for your reward is great in heaven." What? Blessed? Rejoice? Family are the poor in spirit? Family are those who mourn? The Greek word makario, I'm not pronouncing it right, is translated blessed in many of our scriptures. We heard in Bible study N.T. Wright tell us that it means the good life. The good life. The good life is life for the meek. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness live the good life, blessed, rejoicing, welcome at the table, God's family table. The Beatitudes identify those least likely to be invited to a king's table. But Jesus announces that these blessed ones will be the first to the table, to the good life in the kingdom of God. I was a bit stunned when N.T. Wright continued to suggest that these first ones to God's table will also be the first ones that God sends out to establish his kingdom rule of love. Not tanks or bombs, not warriors or kings, because these ones, no, modeled by those sacrificial lambs and doves, that there is no better good life than giving one's own life for another. The good life. Jesus tells us the good life is giving oneself completely to God and to the ones God loves, even our enemies. Even enemies of state, so that they too can have this good life with God as well. Jesus tells us this good life of love shines out like a city upon a hill. The good life. During this season of Lent, we're studying Jesus' Beatitudes. The good life, the blessed who sit at God's table. Now, study and prayer are important for us to understand this good life. It's helpful to practice self-examination and confession, allowing us to give up or give away anything that gets between us and God. Or between us and God's people and God's good life. That's what sin does. And that's what Jesus died for, to take on all the sinfulness that separates us from God's holy presence, from God's family table. Imagine all that sin burning up and smoke wafting up to heaven like those goats and sheep and doves. Jesus took all of our sinfulness, of all people, of all creation, for all time to the cross. So there's no longer anything that can separate us or anyone from God's loving presence, from God's family table, and the good life in right relationship with God and with each other, even when it's hard to see this good life for many or even most. And N.T. Wright quoted these words from the prophet Joel for the season of Lent. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from punishment. Return to the Lord, for the power of sin to separate us from God and from God's good life, God's kingdom rule on earth as it is in heaven, that power of sin has been destroyed for all time, for all people, and all God's good creation. I was thinking I should have named this sermon All, A-L-L. So, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Welcome to God's family table and the good life in God's kingdom of love. Take home chat. Who do you know that just might be looking for this kind of family? And how can we be that city on a hill shining out upon the world? Will you pray with me? Blessed God, this is a difficult world. We fill it with sin and darkness. We turn against each other. We turn against your ways in so many ways. And you respond by loving us, accepting us just the way we are, and forgiving us so that we are free to do better. Free to do better. Oh God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for reminding us to love all, A-L-L, because you love all. We pray in Jesus' name, the one who showed us and taught us how to live this life in relationship with you and your children. Amen.